Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports, powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Welcome, everybody. It's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710 and seattlesports.com. We are live at Edgar's Cantina here at T-Mobile Park. On a beautiful day for baseball, the Chicago Cubs are in town for a three-game series. They'll be followed by the Cincinnati Reds. And hopefully at the end of all of it, Dave, we'll be talking about a couple of series wins for the Seattle Mariners team who have yet to win a series. So looking forward to that becoming a true statement. We'll see what goes on. But a beautiful day. It's supposed to be a nice weekend weather-wise. So perfect for baseball. We'll talk about that. Heidi Watney, she's the field reporter for Apple TV, which tonight's game is on Apple TV, boys and girls. So get ready. Okay. Enjoy your channel surfing. Really enjoy that part of it. That's coming up. We'll talk to her at in just a few minutes. John Morosi will join us at 3 o'clock. We'll catch up with somebody from the Mariners roster. Not exactly sure who yet. And then we got Mean Text at 5:15 today. We will turn you over to the pregame show at 5:30. So get your Mean Text in at 866-979-3776, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company.
That's not how you say that, Bob.
How do you say it?
You say... You idiots, we need Mean Text at 5:30. Is it 5:30 or 5:15? 5:15.
By 5:15.
There we go.
Yeah.
How about by 5? Do it even sooner. How about that?
We enjoyed that.
Yeah.
You in the process of calling them idiots and then not knowing what time Mean Text were at.
Yeah. Crap.
Well, and while you were gone, Dave, jeez, we had to bring Lefko on to call everybody stupid. So,
oh, that, is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. Just sometimes it takes some prodding and I think he gets a kick out of it. He seems to get a big smile on his face anytime he jumps on to call them dumb.
Yeah. So. All right. Well, get on.
I'll have to wait because if I call them dumb now, they're too dumb to remember to send a text.
Oh, man.
At 5 o'clock.
That was good, Mike.
Ooh,
that was good stuff right
866-979-3776, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. Really is just a beautiful day out here right now. It feels nice and warm when the wind doesn't blow. As soon as that wind starts going, you get a little chilly, but, I mean, the sun is shining, very few clouds out in the sky, and, again, it's supposed to be like 63, 64 degrees this weekend. So
hopefully it's blowing out this way.
When the Mariners are up.
Yes.
And then maybe it'll change when somehow they can, you know, we'll just develop a whole new conspiracy theory that the Mariners have some sort of wind-propelled machine here that can, you know, flip directions depending on who's up at the plate.
Yeah. Hey, what do you think gets, by the way, what do you think gets complained about more on this show? The hip drop tackle or the streaming debacle? When we have, you know, an Apple TV game.
Oh, hip drop. Or... hip drop by far.
Yeah.
Because the streaming thing doesn't come up that often. We've certainly made our feelings known. I don't think there's any gray area there. People are pretty clear on how you and I feel about it. But it doesn't come up as much, only when there's an Apple game or a YouTube game. But, the hip drop is fresh, and it's being asked to other players and coaches. It's being kept alive by other reporters talking to Harbaugh about it, asking Gino about it the other day. So yeah, that one continues.
What did they think they were going to get out of asking Gino that? I mean, he was pissed about that play, you know, on Monday Night Football already. So
yeah,
but, yeah,
yeah, he's going to disagree.
No, definitely not.
Yeah, it's that one will live until we see what happens. And what I'm waiting for is when one gets called against the Seahawks, and then those fans that were saying quit talking about it are going to talk about the just scream about the injustice of it all.
And then we'll have to start talking about it again.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Before Heidi Watney joins us, as we said, Mariners got a 6-game homestand in front of them: 3 versus the Cubs, 3 versus the Reds. Is this when they finally win a series? Are you gonna? Can you go out on a limb here, Dave, and make a prediction that they will win one, if not both, of these series?
You know, it's funny. Today I was driving and I was listening to Bump and Stacy, and they were interviewing Son of Augustifson, Brandon. And one of the questions Mike asked, which I thought was a really good question, he's like, are they doing anything well at the plate? Is there anything good?
Yeah. Are you asking me that?
Yeah.
Ty France has been solid. Haniger's been pretty good. He's not on fire. He got out of the gates quick, and he's been pretty consistent. And then Josh Rojas has been he doesn't do damage, but he's up there. His average looks good. He's getting on base. So, that's kind of where my list ends, Dave.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a short one because, you know, if you go and look at their stats, I mean, whether it's on base percentage, average, slugging, OPS, I mean, they're anywhere from 26 to 30.
Not good.
Reminder, 30 teams in Major League Baseball.
30, yeah, 30 teams. Well, and I gave you a list of players here. I was looking last night.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, every player I put on the list is somebody who's hitting under 200. So the question is, and the listeners can answer this, text in your answer, 866-979-3776, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. Who amongst these players will be able to get over 200 after this homestand? Julio, JP, Mitch Garver, Polanco, Cal Raleigh, Rios, Rayleigh. Every one of those guys hitting under 200 at this point.
Yeah.
Every one of them coming up short. This is your core. That's your core right there. You're looking at Julio, JP, and Cal, and Polanco, for that matter. He's a guy that you had in the three hole for the majority of these games to start the season until Scott bumped him down, put Ty France in there. I'd say Ty's part of your core, but he's the one guy who's coming through at this point. So who do you look at there and go, I feel good about when they leave town to hit the road again, this guy or these guys, more than one, will be over 200 at least?
Well, to me, two guys that I've sort of learned to count on, and one is Cal Raleigh, and he's at 194, so that makes it a little easier for him. But I don't know. I just think Cal he's got some confidence going right now, and after that game in Toronto, and he's just too good. And I say the same thing about Julio. He's the same. But, you know, they were posing the question the other day, like, who really needs to get going? And the three were the top three that you have there. It was Julio, Crawford, and they had Polanco. Mm-hmm. When I was listening to Mike Blowers and Dave Sims talk about it. But I don't know. To me, it kind of popped into my head, JP. Just because I think he's a leader and really important. I don't know.
He's got the furthest to go. He's at 140. Yeah, now, that's the beauty. We're still in that part of the season, Dave, where somebody goes 4-for-4.
Right.
Their average jumps 60 points, or if they go 0-for-4, it drops 20, you know, whatever. So it's wild swings in the numbers.
Yeah.
But he's technically the furthest away at 140, whereas Julio is the closest at 196.
Yeah. So, and, you know, but to me, I was just really, by bringing him up, answering the question, like, who needs to? Really needs to? And I think, you know, he's the guy that kind of needs to catch fire. I think Julio's a leader for sure. But, you know, I think in that clubhouse, it's Cal and it's JP. And, you know, for both those guys to get going, I think is going to be really important.
I'd like to see some of the new guys. I mean, Mitch Haniger, I don't count as a new guy because he was here before.
Yeah.
I mean, he technically, yes, he wasn't here last year. He's new this year. But you brought in Polanco. Everybody felt great about that. Garver's done damage as a Texas Ranger. He's got a history. You brought in Rayleigh. You want some of these new guys to start kicking in, you know, right? You want to see some of what they brought him in here to do. And Rios, Rayleigh, Polanco, Garver, all sitting there under 200 at this point.
Another question I was posed is that, you know, who do you think's been the biggest individual disappointment? Because if you throw everybody in there, you might say George Kirby.
Oh, pitchers?
Yeah, I mean, Kirby, or is it Julio, or, you know, off to a rough start, for sure.
Kirby had the one brilliant start and then two dreadful starts. Yeah, Castillo's just been kind of not dreadful, but he hasn't been good. That's a good question.
Well,
it's probably Julio because he's still the face.
Yeah.
He's a position player can impact a game every day. Yeah. Pitcher, you're talking every fifth day.
Right. Well, and the only reason I bring that up is because that was really the strength of this team. I mean, the rotation, and we talked about defensively as well, and that's been a bit of an adventure. So, I mean, those are the two things that you hang your hat on, pitching and defense, and it's been very spotty.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and then the same question for pitchers, though. So we're asking about the hitters. Which of these guys is going to be under 200 or over 200, excuse me? In these six starts, you've got Bryce Miller's going to have two starts. He's pitching tonight, and then he'll pitch the final game of the homestand. And then in between, you're going to have Castillo, Kirby, Gilbert, Hancock. Anybody you look at there, who do you have the most confidence in of that entire group to come out and this guy's going to throw at you?
Logan Gilbert.
Yeah.
Imagine that quickly. No, I do. I trust him. And I remember last year when we would go through the exercise every month or so, who's the ace, you know, who's really the guy that is most steady. And I just feel like he has the least up and down anyway. I mean, I would have said Kirby before this season, but, you know, the last couple outings, like you said, just have been really rough for him.
They've been rough. All right. Well, let's talk to somebody who's going to be out here on the field again tonight, an Apple TV game. And Apple TV field reporter is with us now on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. Heidi Watney is here with us. Heidi, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you? Are you guys out there in left field right now?
Yes. Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
Why didn't
Can
I
you
just
see
come
us?
Out there and talk to you in person?
I don't know.
We would have loved that.
You could run down. You're on a cell phone, so it's mobile. You could, by the time you get here, we'll still have a few minutes to go. How about that?
Right there. I'll take that camera zip line across the field.
How cool would that be?
That would be fun.
Be right there.
So you're here. Beautiful day for baseball. Sun is shining. We're feeling good because the Mariners finally won a game in that series finale against the Toronto Blue Jays. But just from your perspective, what you've seen, I know it's really early, but your take on what you've seen from the Mariners versus what you expected.
Well, Mariners off to a little bit more of a slow start than I expected from them this season, but we're 2 weeks into the season. You can't draw any hard, fast conclusions from this. I do like the moves that DePoto made this offseason to try and cut down the strikeouts. I know it's not showing up yet, I think that's going to turn. Yeah, I mean, last in baseball in strikeouts is not quite there, but I believe that this team can turn it around. I do think that the moves that they've made will turn around. Julio Rodriguez, if you remember last year, got off to a similar kind of slow start before he picked up and had the hottest second half of almost any player in baseball offensively. So I know he's going to be fine. And, you know, this Mariners team has a ton of talent. This rotation, when healthy, is one of the best rotations in baseball. They're young. There's going to be adjustments. But I'm looking forward to seeing Bryce Miller tonight. I think this is a good team. I expect them to contend for a postseason start. I don't think that the slow start they're off to is going to last.
Heidi, when you look at their rotation, and I think we were just talking about maybe that's been sort of disappointing just because, you know, you've had some really up and down stuff, and like what we've seen out of George Kirby is very foreign, right? He came out very dominant in his first performance. But as far as where they rank, I mean, do you see them as being, when they're all pitching and hitting on all cylinders, do you see them as one of the top pitching rotations in Major League Baseball?
100%. Yeah. I just said, like, they're a bunch of young guys who throw the ball hard. They have a great pitching foundation here with this organization. They know how to develop pitchers. I mean, we saw it last year when you saw these guys come up and just come out of the starting gate on fire. Bryce Miller added his splitter this year. I'm excited to see it against lefties. I mean, that was one of the things. They can identify where they need to improve, and they do it. They make the adjustments that need to be done. These guys are still young, so they're still learning the league. The league is adapting to them, so there's going to be some growing pains at times. But I would put my money on this rotation up against just about anyone else in baseball right now.
You talked about it's early, and we say that. Everybody says that. That's, as you probably are aware, fans don't want to hear that, especially here in Seattle,
no.
Because they feel like, same old story, the team stinks, blah, all of that. But for you, as somebody who covers the game and watches it and has the knowledge you do, at what point in the season do you feel like, all right, I've got a grip on this club, I know this is a good club, this is a bad club, they don't hit well, they do hit well? Just where you've got sort of the hard and fast opinion on a team.
Well, I think you need to really let at least a month pass in the season, because you got to look at who you're playing too. You're going up against different teams. You're going to play better teams in the league. You're going to play worse teams in the league. So, like, you could have a hot streak, but you're playing, I mean, no offense to the Oakland A's and the Chicago White Sox, if you have back-to-back stands against them and you go, you know, 6-2, then you think you're super hot, but you know, you don't know the level of competition that you're playing. The Toronto Blue Jays expect to be competing for the postseason, so you know they're in there, and they're in a dogfight in the AL East too, so they're going to play hard. These Chicago Cubs missed the postseason just like the Mariners last year by one game, so both of these teams are hungry to get back there, and I mean, these Chicago Cubs come in super hot offensively right now. I mean, they've been one of the hottest teams in baseball on the offensive side of the ball. Their pitching has been struggling even more than the Mariners rotation has. So I think you've got to look at you've got to get to at least May before you can draw any conclusions about a team for sure.
Hey, Heidi, just give us a little of your perspective of what Julio means to not only to the Mariners and Seattle, but also just to Major League Baseball. He's just you'd like to get kind of a fresh perspective on him, not batting great right now, but he sure is a guy who is very iconic here in Seattle.
Oh, and for good reason. I mean, if you look at this guy's career, his numbers are better than Ken Griffey Jr.'s first 2 years in the big leagues. Can I repeat that for you guys? Better yeah. than Ken Griffey Jr. And I love Jr. He is one of my golfing buddies. He is just an amazing human being. But so is
quit
Julio
bragging.
I shouldn't say golfing buddies, but I have played at a charity tournament or two with him, and he's a very good golfer. He's fun to play. He's fun to hit the links with, but he's competitive everywhere he goes. Julio, when he first came to the league a couple years ago, just a breath of fresh air. His talent is fantastic. He has gotten better as a center fielder every year defensively. The offense is there. And he is definitely someone you want to build an organization around. And obviously the Mariners are doing that with the contract that they gave him. But, I mean, this guy's on cereal boxes. And he's going to hit. It was the same thing last year. He started off slow. There was the pressure of, will he make the All-Star team? It's here in Seattle. Is that pressure weighing on him? The kid was only 21 years. Think about that. He's a college kid. He is the age of a college kid. And he's playing Major League Baseball. And he's been here for a couple of years. And I know people don't want to think he's young because he's been around for a couple of years. But he is still young. And he's still going to make adjustments. But he was one of the top offensive players in the league after the All-Star break last year and helped lead that big charge that the Mariners had last August.
Yeah, I love getting the national perspective on elements of this team. And one that is a polarizing figure at times when the team is struggling is the manager. And that's true in any city, as you know. But, you know, we're off to the slow start and we get texts, you know, from our listeners on the show or if you're on social media, Scott Service, he's the problem. He doesn't know what he's doing. Like he finished. He was a finalist for Manager of the Year twice in the past 3 years. He's a guy who can't hit or pitch for this team or play defense yet. The manager will be the one that gets the blame. I'm just curious to get your take on Scott Service as a manager, looking at him from the outside.
You know, I've loved our manager meetings with Scott Service over the last couple of years since I started doing these Apple games and sitting in his office. He really relates to his players more than I think outside people know. And he has a great feel for the game. A lot of former catchers have that feel for the game. He's a former catcher. He also works really well with the front office and has a great relationship with their Jerry DePoto. So he can, I feel like he's the kind of guy who can go to DePoto and say, this is what we need. So he can relate on both sides with the players. He also gives the players a lot of grace, which they need, especially when the season starts off hard. I haven't heard anything from any of the players that they don't like playing for him. I think he is versed, and I mean, he knows analytics, so he knows he's going to take all that data, but he has some feel of the game too as a former player and especially as a catcher. So I actually think that Seattle's pretty lucky. They've got a great manager in Scott Service. I don't think he's the problem. Like you said, he can't get out there and hit the ball himself. He's got to rely on these players to do that. I just think this team might be one of those teams that kind of starts off slow. And you get that when you have a lot of youth on the team. But I think that there is enough talent on this team, especially with the pitching. I mean, that rotation's really good. And they addressed, well, it seemed like they addressed the strikeout problem, but time will tell because so far, 2 weeks into the season, doesn't look any better than it did last year. I personally think that's going to turn around, though.
She is Heidi Watney. She's going to be the field reporter tonight. Apple TV is where you're going to see this game between the Mariners and the Cubs. Heidi, real pleasure speaking with you. If you get bored in between now and the start of the game, we'll be down here, so just wander on down. You know, the in-person experience is really one to behold here. If you get bored, wander on down.
I just looked over and saw you guys out there. I'll try to come say hi if I get a chance. But, Apple TV tonight. And for anyone, if you don't have Apple TV, if you go on my Twitter/X account at Heidi Watney, I have a free 2-month trial on there. Just click on the link and you can watch it for free.
That is fantastic.
There you go. Heidi/Watney on Twitter. Great stuff. Thanks, we appreciate Heidi. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you, guys. Take care.
There you go. Heidi Watney, she'll be part of the broadcast tonight. And if you don't have Apple TV, you go to her Twitter page and there's a free 2-month trial.
All I need now is for Lefko to come over to my home and show me how to do it.
Let's set it up before you leave.
Show you how to get onto Twitter, how to click on the link. Yeah, it's a whole...
Mike, I'm not on Twitter.
It's a whole list of things. All right. Our thanks to Heidi. And again, if you tuned in the middle of that, you didn't catch that whole conversation, you'll be able to find it on the podcast page after the show at seattlesports.com. Right now, let's take two.
Well, coming off that really strong outing against the Brewers on Saturday, Bryce Miller makes his third start of the season tonight. Mariners lineup is also out. Ty France stays in that three-hole spot. In the bottom of the order, you have Cal Raleigh, Dylan Moore, and Luis Urias against Cubs left-hander Jordan Wicks.
You know, Dylan Moore, when I think about him, I think about him getting, he steals the base the other night. Remember, he had to come over and get, he was bleeding all over the place. And then somebody hits an RBI single. He scores from home. Just guy speed, guy, you know, and I like that he got thrown out of the game, too. I don't know, I just, you mentioned Dylan Moore, and I think, you know, I mean, it's early for him. He hasn't done a whole lot, but I love having that guy on this team, man. He is just such a great utility guy.
Yeah, you need guys like that. Somebody you know can play multiple positions and hopefully come out. He's had big moments for the team. So, yeah, he's a guy that's crucial to a roster like this. Interesting that they bumped Cal Raleigh down. Urias still waiting for him to get going amongst many others. So, yeah, maybe these six games hopefully will lead to a few of these guys breaking out.
Well, world number one, Scotty Scheffler, is tied for first right now in the Masters. I know you guys might have something to say about this, though, because Scotty Scheffler, he said that he will leave if his wife goes into labor. He and his wife, Meredith, are expecting their first child, so Scheffler has said that if she does go into labor during the tournament, he will leave, even if he's leading, which he is right now.
Tiger Woods said, I don't care if it's her first or second, I'm staying.
And he made the cut, yeah. For his record-setting 24th time at the Masters.
I thought you were going somewhere with that. He's having another kid.
I'm aware.
You know, I honestly do believe that my wife would go, no, do not come. Go play golf and make money.
We got to support this child.
Yeah, I think that's what my wife
would say. Now, what if, hypothetically, Dave, what if she said, you better be here. This is kid number one. We've not gone through this together.
Yeah, well, I mean, nobody's put it to me that way, Bob. I would do exactly what my wife wanted me to do.
Okay. There you go. That was the right answer. Thought I was teeing you up. You got all bunched up.
Man.
He starts clapping the hand. You see that? Well,
a little bit too long of a hesitation.
Who was the hitter last year that got screwed into the ground last
Jose
year?
Jose Ramirez.
Yeah.
Was it first Ramirez? Game against
Cleveland.
Crash.
Yeah, it was against Brash. That's kind of how I felt. I was expecting a fastball and a changeup came.
It's totally off balance there. All right. Take two is brought to you by Swedish Cyberknife. Treat prostate cancer with Swedish Cyberknife. Swedish.org/CyberknifeProstate. Coming up, the story of Shohei Ohtani's former translator's gambling debts gets a bit wilder with each new discovery. We're going to get into that coming up with Wyman and Bob live from Edgar's Cantina at T-Mobile Park. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
Wyman and Bob,
powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio
on Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
We are live at Edgar's Cantina here at T-Mobile Park. Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports on 710. Our thanks to Heidi Watney. She's going to be part of the Apple TV broadcast, The Field Reporter. She joined us in the previous segment. If you guys are just tuning in and missed that conversation, again, that'll be on the podcast page after the show at seattlesports.com. Meanwhile, the Shohei Ohtani story just gets more and more odd, Dave, if you've been following that. They just released a bunch of excerpts from a bunch of different websites doing a breakdown of what there was a 37-page I don't know, indictment documents detailing everything that his translator did. They went through thousands and thousands and thousands of text messages and wire transfers. And boy, the extent he went to sort of cover up, and they were talking about his interactions with Ohtani's management agency and people that are usually there to help with finances and things like that, and how he would kind of, you know, kind of shield him from those guys and say, no, we've got a bank account here that's not drawing interest. It's his own. He wants to keep that private.
Right.
And Ohtani's sitting there oblivious because he doesn't speak English. So apparently the management company doesn't have anybody that speaks Japanese. So they're just relying on this interpreter to make sure everything's above board. I mean, it's just 37 pages of this stuff is pretty extreme. But we got a cut here from Martin Estrada. He's the U.S. attorney for the Central District of California announcing these charges against Mizuhara.
Our investigation has revealed that due to the position of trust he occupied with Mr. Ohtani, Mr. Mizuhara had unique access to Mr. Ohtani's finances. Mr. Mizuhara used and abused that position of trust in order to take advantage of Mr. Ohtani. Mr. Mizuhara used and abused that position of trust in order to plunder Mr. Ohtani's bank account to the tune of over $16 million.
Plunder.
Yeah, so this guy is facing 30 years, potentially. Now, does he get the maximum? Probably not. But, I mean, the extent to which, and they had a text message from him to the bookie that he was working with after this became public. And he said, he said, have you seen the news? And the bookie said, yeah, I've seen it. I know that's just a cover-up. I get it. And he's like, he goes, I know you didn't steal from him. He goes, actually, I did steal from him. I'm finished.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa, reading all that. So just a lot of detail. If you're interested in it, there's a lot of detail there. There's a lot of detail about the back and forth. This guy, you know, defrauded, I guess, Bank of America, impersonating Ohtani, and then help was there when he opened up the account and got control of this whole thing. And pretty amazing. Pretty amazing to the extent he went to. To pull this off over a period of years.
Well, and especially, I mean, it gets more and more diabolical the more you read, because, I mean, this guy was really his friend,
since
right?
2013.
I mean, and you just trusted him with everything. And I think, you know, more than anything, look, I mean, you talk about addiction for whether it's alcohol or drugs or whatever, but gambling, it gets people by the stones, man, and it just runs away. So, yeah, 4.5 to 16 million now. And, yeah, just think if you're Ohtani, I mean, you must be – I don't know how he must feel. I mean, certainly betrayed, right? But also, you know, you might maybe feel kind of dumb for not, you know, checking into this guy more or not knowing. But, you know, it sounds like he was doing it to such an extent that you almost can't blame Ohtani. It's like, wow, this guy was just really a sick person.
Yeah, and they had these text messages, again, between him and the bookie, where he kept saying, man, I'm in a bad spot. Can you give me a bump? You know you're going to get paid back. This is the last time I'll ask. And it shows the date. And then literally like 2 days later, hey, man, can I get another bump? Bumping credit, you know, right. I promise this is the last time. Like, each one was the same exact verbiage. Okay, I promise. Now this is the last. Now I'm serious. Now right. I'm done after this. And there were like four in a row of that between, like, in a week span where he's going, okay, just one more bump, man. Just bump me up one more time. You know you'll get paid. And you're just like, my goodness.
Well, and I don't know if you've read this or not. I've not been able to find. Is there any documentation on what he's gambling? What's he betting on?
They said he was betting on everything but baseball, according to the. And here's the other thing. I know there's the people that love the conspiracy theories. He's covering for Ohtani, or they're covering for Ohtani. The feds have no allegiance to Major League Baseball or Shohei Ohtani. I get that paranoia when it comes to Major League Baseball, because they do have something to lose if their biggest star is implicated.
Right.
The feds have no such obligation or dedication to Ohtani or Major League Baseball. They're going to come out and say, here's what we found. Here's what's out there. And they've got 37 pages of it back and forth. So if you still want to believe that this guy is going to take the fall for him, help yourself. I don't know anybody who's going to face 30 years in prison for somebody else, to cover for somebody else. It's just, I'm sorry, I can't buy that.
No, that doesn't really make sense. It doesn't really add up. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that there is, you know, it sounds like everything, every last little granular detail is being revealed. And
yeah.
So, you know, the fact, if somebody were to, you know, be able to come in and fix that, it would be really corrupt.
Yeah. So, well, I guess they were saying he was out there buying cards too, like baseball cards, with the money. And they said they found like all these packages that were being sent to the facility under a not his name, but some name they gave him. And they were filled with all these cards, players like Yogi Berra, Juan Soto. There were Ohtani cards in there. Apparently there was over 1,000 cards and briefcases and boxes. And his idea was to get those things turned around, you know, flip them, buy them, turn around, sell them, make money on them that way. I mean, so he had multiple things going on there.
You know what's funny about it, though? I mean, I haven't really seen this have an effect as far as tarnishing Ohtani's name. I mean, I've not seen, I guess you would think people would maybe not trust his judgment and wonder, like, why would you have a friend like that? Or maybe there are people that are suspicious that he's complicit in this somehow. But it doesn't seem, to me anyway, to be a story that just won't go away. You know, as far as, you know, watching Major League. Now, obviously, Major League Baseball Network, they're not going to be talking too much about that and trying to sort of play it down a little bit. But
or they're breathing a huge sigh of relief that, OK, the feds are, again, yeah, who have no, you know, dog in this fight, so to speak. You know, they're going to tell you what they find here. And thank goodness he wasn't implicated. I'm sure they're breathing a sigh of relief because there is something on the line for them. Apparently, Dom Canzone is going to join us on set here coming up in the next segment. So Lefko's in the clubhouse annoying players. Hey, can you guys come over to the set? We
nice job, Mike.
Talk to the guys. So Dom Canzone is expected to join us coming up next as we continue live from Edgar's Cantina. It's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
We continue live from Edgar's Cantina here at T-Mobile Park. It's Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports on 710, and a pleasure to speak to this guy. It might be the first time we've had a chance to sit down with him in person anyway. Here at the set with us is Dom Canzone. How are you, man?
Good, good. I can't complain. Appreciate you guys having me on.
It's good to have you. What I enjoyed most so far is Dave trying to figure out the chef's kiss.
Yeah, I know. He was giving me some interesting claw gestures over there, so we'll work on it.
Hands Dom, pointed the wrong way.
Come on,
it's like,
man.
Like a towel digging ice thing. What do I do with my hands?
Dude, I played a decade in the NFL. My fingers are all screwed up and broken. That's why.
That's all right. That's all right.
No, that was good. I was telling you that that's one of my favorite gestures. You know, you got that got that down. Where'd that come from?
I don't know. Well, I didn't have anything coming in here, so I kind of just had the awkward thumbs up. So I had to come up with something. That's kind of what I came up with, and it stuck. So
there you go.
So does this feel like home now? I mean, you came in late last season. You didn't have a ton of time with the team. Obviously, the postseason didn't happen. So. Yeah, just a brief amount of time, then the offseason comes in. Now you go through spring training with the team and you're here. Does it feel like you're still getting to know things about the building and the team and the players, or does it feel like home?
It feels like home. I'm finally settled in. It was really nice to get a full spring training underneath my belt with the club. So just getting to know everybody, that's just the biggest thing, getting the names down, finding out what everybody does, and really just getting to know your teammates a little bit better is it's been nice.
Dom, there's a lot of talk in spring training about it looked like you worked hard in the off season, particularly, you know, your legs. You look like you got stronger. Tell us about your routine, and did you go in going, okay, I'm gonna do this, that, and get bigger, or how was your approach?
The off season, I always like to try to put on a few pounds, just because I generally do lose a little bit of weight throughout the season. But just talking with the coaches, they wanted me to add a few pounds and also work on my flexibility. So that was another big part of it. It wasn't just getting after it in the weight room. It was a lot of flexibility stuff, and especially working on my stability and my back leg with the leg kick. So there's a bunch of different things that I tried to get after in the off season and kind of just accomplish, really.
Are you somebody that likes to tinker with your mechanics, your stance, where your hands are? I noticed you got that lead leg, you got the foot turned in. Mm-hmm. That seemed new.
Yeah, it was more just they wanted me to, the hitting coaches, JD and Browning, wanted me to stand up a little bit more, kind of get out of the crouch stance just to see the ball a little bit better and make better swing decisions. So I don't think it's been a huge, like, swing thing. It's more like, just with my eyes and just trying to recognize off speed and understand where it's going to start and try to make better swing decisions.
When does it click, like, right away for you, or is it something that takes a while of going in there when you change something mechanically, or is it something like an aha moment, like, oh, that felt good, I can replicate that?
Yeah, I kind of like how you said that, like, kind of the aha moment. Like, you'll have some of those, especially in spring training, where you're like, oh man, this doesn't feel good today, and then the next day, like, all right, well, I stuck with it, I'm sticking with the process, and I got a little bit better result. But it really is all about the process and just sticking with it, because these guys know what they're talking about, and I'm always open ears.
How do you fans, we react to every game. Mm-hmm. Every game, hey, they won, oh dang, they lost, you know, you're mad, you're happy. you can't do that as a player. It's too long, 162 mm-hmm. games. But when you don't get off to the start you were hoping for as a team, do you feel the pressure? Do you feel like guys are pressing or tighter? Do you feel tighter up the play? Like, I got to get something going here when the offense is struggling?
No, not at all. Again, like you said in the beginning, baseball's a game of ups and downs. And what's really helped me mentally, and it was hard for me to kind of do last year, which we briefly talked about, was just I've talked with mental skills coach a little bit, Burn, just like trying to enjoy each day and just understand how lucky we are just to be able to play the game every single day. And as long as you can just enjoy the game, because it really is just a game, and the more we can enjoy it, I think the looser we're going to play. And that's helped me at least a lot mentally, and just being able to come out here and enjoy each day with the guys, regardless of the result. Obviously we want to win, but that's not going to happen every single day. So just kind of taking from that, following the process and just enjoying each day has been big for me.
How about in the outfield? Bob actually was pointing out we came down and caught a couple of games, and you know, you took really good routes to the ball and things like that. And what did you kind of work on as far as your defense goes this year?
I would say with the whole defensive thing, it's more just getting reps out there. Game reps, and even in batting practice, are the best ways you can get better in the outfield. Left field's a little bit newer for me. I played mostly right throughout college and even mostly through pro ball. So just learning left field, the angles off left-handed bat, left-handed hitters and right-handed hitters. It's a little bit different than right, obviously. So just getting the reps in really is the biggest thing, especially in batting practice.
As far as the defense as a whole, how much of a focus has that been for the team? I mean, it feels like at one point so far this season, each part of the game has struggled, whether it's defense, the offense, the pitching. Is that been a huge focus, or more than, like, after a game where there might be a couple of booted balls, all right, we're going to get here early tomorrow, we're going to work on this? What's the approach after that?
It's tough to say. So everybody's a professional here, and everybody knows what they kind of need to work on. But again, just like it's the beginning of the season, we don't want to overreact to the immediate results, and everybody knows what they need to come in and do every single day. So as professionals, you know what you need to do. Everybody's working hard, and we're working to win games.
Hey Dom, are you maybe a guy, you're pretty young, but I know I wasn't really a vocal leader on mm-hmm. the teams I was on, but just kind of a lead by example. Was that more your style than?
Again, kind of like you said, I mean, I don't even have a year of service time. So I'm really just trying to follow the older guys and see how they go about their business every single day. And those are the guys that really do lead by example, like Hanny and Garver and JP and Julio and all those guys. Like, those are the guys I like learning from and just seeing how they go about their business. And again, just haven't been up here that long, so I'm really just trying to learn from them.
How tough is it for you to develop a rhythm or a level of comfort when you're not in the lineup every night? You're not on the field every night. So is there a feeling of, okay, I'm in tonight, I gotta make it count? Or how do you approach that?
Kind of like what I said before, with just like kind of trusting your process and understanding that the work that you've put in is gonna produce good results. And if it doesn't, then just stick to the process and evaluate the situation on what may you have been able to do better that day. But again, as I think, just for me personally, just being in that mindset of just sticking to what we've been working on for the last 6 months is going to be the biggest help.
Don, when you were growing up, so were you a baseball junkie from the very beginning, or did you play other sports? How did your sort of athletic career develop?
Yeah, I mean, I've been playing baseball since 3 years old, since T-ball, so I've been a baseball junkie my whole life.
Yeah, no other sports?
I played basketball basically up until college. I played until senior year of high school.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you know, like, at what point were you like, hey, I'm pretty good at baseball, I think I might be able to go pro?
Yeah, I mean, I actually liked basketball a little bit better, but it was, I mean, I'm just not athletic enough for that. So I went with baseball, and I was a little bit better at that, so it worked out.
That was a good choice.
Yeah.
Did you play any other positions? Did you come up as a pitcher, shortstop? What'd you play?
Yeah, I pitched a lot in high school. Gosh, I threw a lot of pitches, that's for sure. I played a little bit of first base, and then I kind of converted to outfield my senior year, and then all throughout college.
We've seen your guy Josh out there twice now.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a guy that could be called upon in a bad situation, or is he...
I would love to. I'd love to throw. I'd love to show off the knuckleball. So we'll have to assess that maybe one day. But I think that's down the road. Skip, trust me yet with that.
Did you enjoy that 40-mile-an-hour heater he had up there?
Yeah, no, the Ephus, I mean, you can't hit that thing. That thing's nasty, so.
It forced a pop-up. Yeah. It was beautiful, man.
Yeah, I was honestly surprised he even swung at it, so.
That was awesome.
He seemed very eager to go to the coach and say, hey, you put me in.
Yeah.
I want a pitch.
He told us he's got an ERA, and he doesn't want one, so he wanted to work on that.
Yeah, that's a great pitch. He's got it. If he can master that one, he's going to lower that ERA every time he goes out there.
Yeah.
Well, hey, real quick, by the way, last question. You said you played basketball. How about the three-point competition? Were you in that down there in
spring? I was, yes.
How'd you do?
I did pretty well. I think I had, it was either 14 or 16, so I had a good little run at it, yeah.
Yeah.
So would you made it through a few rounds?
Well, we did just like, it was it's like the traditional all-star rack, five at a rack, five spots, so,
okay.
And then the money balls at the end of the rack, so, 14 points, I think it was, so it was pretty good, I was happy with it.
That was up there, I saw the other scores were like 16.
Yeah, 15. Some of the highs were like 16, 18, 20, so, I was happy with it.
You still got it, man.
Well, Dom, cool to have you out here, man. We appreciate you coming out, and of course, we wish you nothing but the best, and look forward to talking to you again.
I appreciate you guys having me on.
There you go, Dom Kanz. Zone of your Seattle Mariners.
Thank you.
A few minutes with us. They get set for the Cubs coming up. He's the perfect guy to set the stage for this Mariners homestand. John Morosi will join us next with Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.